Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Xavier Lavigetto, pastor of the Catholic community, and Teresa Plins, chaplain of the Catholic community. It is the 18th Sunday in Ordinary Time, and the readings are from Cycle B.
We love to complain. I know it's my favorite pastime. You know, murmuring was the song for the whole Exodus journey. But what happens to us when complaining becomes our heart's habit? It weighs us down. It narrows our vision, seeing only a dark slice of life. It quickly rushes to judge others. And worst of all, we begin to play the role of victim. In such moments, we know that we are not our best. Indeed, because I feel less than I really want to be, I lessen that tension in myself by doubling down, by blaming others and excusing myself. Sound familiar? In those moments, I miss the message and the meaning. The people complained habitually in the desert, never mind the wonders they had seen. They never made a gift of themselves in trust. God became little more than a problem solver. And that is not what God wanted to be. He wanted a real relationship, a personal relationship. Wouldn't it be like wonderful if God said about you what he said about Abraham in the book of the prophet Isaiah, "Abraham is my friend." Wouldn't that be wonderful if God spoke about you that way? You know, trust is scary stuff. If it's real trust, I have to entrust myself to the other. And that screams vulnerability. No wonder I miss the message and the meaning. Fear too easily clouds my vision. So therefore, is it any wonder that when Jesus came curing, the crowds followed? It is surprising that he would feed us a different bread, a bread from heaven. They would rather have daily bread and make him king. Wouldn't you want Jesus to be king or president? Food without work, that sounds pretty good. Cure without medical insurance, that even sounds better. But Jesus did not want their adulation. This is the work of God, that you believe in him whom he has sent. But we often mistake belief as something up here in the mind. To truly believe someone is to trust them, and it's to entrust ourselves to them. This is a very, very different habit of heart. There is a wonderful freedom here because there is no fear when you really trust someone. You can be your authentic self without hiding or role-playing. Memories of shame are washed away in the forgiveness of simply being accepted by another. And between us and God, the distance is crossed in the divine embrace of love. Unlike the habits of blaming and excusing, which lock us up in a false security, acknowledging and accepting our strengths and our weaknesses makes room, makes for the possibility of real growth, if only because you become like the ones you love. You become like the ones you really love. So Jesus offers us the bread of life, his very self, humanity and divinity, to fill our humanity and to share in his divinity. God gives us all. He wants that relationship. He wants that relationship. And to explore what that really means, Teresa.
Growing up, my family lived on a farm. And life was beautiful and difficult. Growing up on the land, you learn to work hard. You learn to appreciate all forces of nature, the sunsets and the rats. And you became quite self-sufficient. We made a lot of things. Oftentimes, I would help my mother in the kitchen, and we would make pickles and jam, butter, ice cream, and bread. We made bread. My mother baked the most amazing bread. Loaves, six at a time, enough to feed our family for the entire week. And this bread became our school lunch sandwiches. And here's where a problem arose for me. Right in front of me, every noon recess on the playground were my own personal flesh pots of Egypt. While my peanut butter was spread between the beautifully crafted bread baked by my mother, it seemed that almost everyone else had peanut butter enrobed in Wonder Bread. And I fell into grumbling and complaining just as any other 12-year-old or ancient Israelite would have done. And as often as possible, I traded away my mother's nourishing manna bread for Wonder Bread, for this false security it offered to fit in, to be like everyone else. Never mind that these sandwiches left me hungrier. Wonder Bread is mostly air and unpronounceable chemicals. And it was nothing like the whole grains, the milk, and honey, and the love that my mother had put into baking her bread. Sadly, we, everyone, trades away our manna bread for Wonder Bread, sometimes daily. The British novelist Salman Rushdie has an extraordinarily perceptive description of manna for false miracle choices in his latest book, The Golden House. Here's a sample of his litany. In this reality, the climate was not changing, and the end of the Arctic ice caps was just a new real estate opportunity. Gun murderers were exercising their constitutional rights, but the parents of murdered children were un-American. Mass deportations would be a good thing. And international treaties would not have to be honored. The Second Amendment would be sacred, but the first would not. Knowledge was ignorance, and lying was funny, and hatred was funny. And bigotry was funny, and bullying was funny. To bring his litany up to date, we could add, in this reality, taking small children out of their parents' arms will ensure the safety of the nation. And calling journalists enemies will ensure the truth. We seem so lost in the desert, so far away from holiness. There is an arid starvation in our souls, in our society, crying out for a different path, for different solutions to these complex problems, for a different kind of food. Jesus encountered much of the same chaos in his earthly life, so we cannot separate him out from human experience. For that was God's choice, to send his Son into the midst of humanity. But Jesus was laser clear in his choice between divine manna and society's wonder bread. He trusted in God, and he knew his purpose. These are some of the names he took for himself. I am the way, the truth, and the light. I am the light of life. I am the good shepherd. I am the true vine. I am the bread of life. Jesus is our heavenly bread, the Panus Angelicus who came to us and comes to us at every Eucharist, and whose spirit is present throughout creation. There is manna all around us. We are foolishly, dangerously distracted if we cannot see Jesus' goodness in one another, in our families, in our parish, in our country, and in our world. Especially now when there are so many voices shouting and demanding and threatening and promising and texting and tweeting, trying to convince us to trade the heavenly bread of Jesus and his compassion for the wonder bread of superiority and isolationism. Bread that will never satisfy, but only leads to starvation. For some, through poverty and war. For others, through the drawn-out yearning for inner peace that never comes. But there is manna all around us. If we but reach out, we will touch it. And Jesus tells us that this is the work of God, to reach out, to believe. To believe that we are loved and held by God. To believe that Jesus is the bread of our lives. The Panis Angelicus sent for our salvation. Our second communion music today will be offered up by Katie and Eric. And the composer, Cesar Franck, set St. Thomas Aquinas' beautiful hymn, Sarus Solemnis, in this prayer. Here's the text. Heavenly bread that becomes the bread for all humankind. Bread from the angelic host that is the end of all imagining. Oh, miraculous thing, this body of God will nourish even the poorest, the most humble of servants, even the poorest, the most humble of servants. Franck realized the difference between wonder bread and the holy manna of Jesus Christ. May we be given the same clarity of vision.
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tomaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.